Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Nick Ferguson, Tyler Palumbis, and D-Mac.
Well, this Saturday in Atlanta at the Atlanta Falcons facility, Colin Kaepernick will have a workout for all NFL teams. The NFL actually set this up. It was not Colin Kaepernick's camp. It was the NFL that set it up, and they asked Colin, do you want to do this? And it was a little bit dicey there for a minute. They only gave him 2 hours to respond. They said you have to accept the time and the location. The workout will be in Atlanta. It will be on Saturday. And although Colin appealed that he wanted it to be on Tuesday, the traditional off day for NFL teams, the NFL said, nope, it's going to happen on Saturday. You can accept it. You can deny it right now, but you've got 2 hours and you got to let us know. Colin Kaepernick decided he would be happy to oblige. He'd be happy to be a part of the workout. And so on Saturday, Colin will showcase his skill sets in what will be a little bit of a combine style workout. He will do some tests. He will do some throwing. He will do some individual drills. And we will see how many teams will participate, how many teams will actually show up. But we do know this, Nick. The Denver Broncos will be in attendance. Mike Kliss has reported that the Broncos will have a representative in Atlanta to view Colin's workout. And so I ask you, is this a smart move on behalf of the Denver Broncos?
Yes, it is. And here's why. When you look at the NFL in its current status and you look at the trend of quarterbacks that we have, we saw Russell Wilson do his thing on Monday Night Football. Patrick Mahomes still is that unicorn, and Lamar Jackson continues to amaze. So you will be a fool not to go out and say, well, listen, I want to see what Colin has. He's been out of the game for a while, but he's been out of the game not because he cannot play in the NFL. It's because of his issues with the NFL. But I'm glad that hearing the story that the NFL set this up. And what it tells me is that, you know, time heals old wounds. Whatever was the beef between Colin Kaepernick and the league, they're saying, you know what, it is time to put this behind you. We've given you an opportunity, given you that two-hour window to accept the workout. And then the fact that the Broncos are sending someone down there, that's so smart. I mean, you want to see what he can do. You want to see, you know what, if Colin Kaepernick can go out and he can make all the throws, still show that he's still the same person he was before he had his 3-year sabbatical, then you may want to think about it. Now, that doesn't mean that the Broncos are going to make a move, but they just want to see for themselves.
So, I hate to break your heart on this one, but the Denver Broncos are not there to consider Colin Kaepernick.
Then why go?
They are going strictly for public reasons. That is the only reason. John Elway has already said he's been there, done that. He's tried to get Colin Kaepernick to come into town. He tried to get him to take a reduction in his salary, and he did not want to do it. Matter of fact, Elway was out of saying that was his shot. He passed on it and more or less insinuated that it will not happen again.
So
on
why,
top of that,
so why send is someone down there then?
And on top of that, John Elway was essentially deposed by Colin Kaepernick, an incredibly complicated situation in which I can guarantee you that the Denver Broncos have zero interest in signing Colin. They are going for public perception, and because they don't want to be that team that does not show up. I also think that teams are going to put themselves, there's going to be, as I sat and I thought on it yesterday, I didn't think there was going to be very many teams that showed up. And I've changed my mind. I actually think there's going to be a huge contingent from the NFL because the majority of teams are going to have the exact same thought process of the Denver Broncos, is they don't want to be the team that doesn't show up. They don't want to be the team that has to answer to that noise. You know, the reality is Colin Kaepernick, I spent a lot of time today researching, watching film, going back, trying to reassess who Colin Kaepernick was as a quarterback. And in 2013, he won 15 games in After 2013, he only won 15 games in three seasons when Blaine Gabbert replaced him. He was one of the least accurate passers in the NFL with 59% completion percentage. Between the 2015 and the 2016 season, he ranked dead last in the NFL in off-target percentage. I can keep going, and I got a lot that I do want to get to, but let me preface it before I continue that I do not believe that Colin Kaepernick is not talented enough to be in the NFL. He is definitely talented enough to be in the NFL, and he is definitely being blackballed by the NFL in an unfair manner. All that being said, he is not an NFL starter. Matter of fact,
hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got to jump in.
Go ahead.
Because I was sitting here listening and taking this all in, and to say that he is not a starter in the NFL, I've heard so many people use that tagline. They even added this part as far as saying, well, you have to change your entire system to fit him as though he's a system quarterback. And for those individuals and yourself, every quarterback is a system quarterback. You change, if you're a smart coach, your system to fit your quarterback. Even the great Peyton Manning,
sure,
when he came here with you guys, when you guys won the Super Bowl, you had Gary Kubiak's system. And then you had the system that Peyton was used to with Tom Moore and with the Colts. And then it wasn't mixing with what Kubiak wanted to do, so they had to change something.
The only problem with that is that the 49ers were the original team to adopt a system for their quarterback. They went all in for Colin Kaepernick. They gave him the exact system that he needed to succeed.
And what happened, though?
And he did not.
They went to playoff game.
Right. What happened in his last 3 years, though? Let me give you some stats here. In 2015, he was the worst-rated quarterback in the entire NFL. In the Pro Football Focus era, which was 2007 to 2017, which is when this article was written, among all quarterbacks with 1,500 dropbacks or more, no quarterback was sacked more than Kaepernick. Now you would say, okay, so he's got a terrible offensive line, right? Well, no. He was replaced by Blaine Gabbert, right? A guy that we all know who Blaine Gabbert is. But in that same season, with that exact same offensive line, Colin Kaepernick was sacked on 8.7% of his dropbacks, which was the sixth highest in the NFL. Blaine Gabbert replaces him, and he went to the NFL average of 5.6% of dropbacks in which he was actually sacked.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because sometimes I know we like to live through the numbers, but I also remember that time, too, when Colin Kaepernick was dealing with some shoulder injuries.
Sure.
Also, he had his issue that, you know, with the NFL, and that created somewhat of a problem. So the organization wanted to put someone else out front, not him.
Nope. He got benched because when he was the starter, the team was averaging 18 points per game. When he got replaced by Blaine Gabbert, the team averaged 22.2 points per game, and the sack average dropped close to 3%. An entire 3%.
So based
on past three seasons in which Colin Kaepernick was playing, among all 29 quarterbacks with at least 800 attempts over that span, Kaepernick ranks ahead of only Blake Bortles in adjusted net yards per attempt. Meaning, even with a completion percentage of 59%, which is terrible, he attempted the shortest passes of any quarterback, and he still had one of the worst completion percentages of any quarterback. So he got benched because Blaine Gabbert produced more points and produced a higher rate.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this, and I've heard this story before.
Yep.
And the idea is that somehow Blaine Gabbert was better than Colin Kaepernick, and that's why he replaced him. This is the same Blaine Gabbert, who Mike Mayock said he was more NFL ready than Cam Newton. But Cam Newton has appeared in a Super Bowl. He was a league MVP. And if I'm not mistaken, Colin Kaepernick has beaten some quality quarterbacks in his league. He put San Francisco in a Super Bowl against Joe Flacco based on some of those same things that we're sitting here saying, what that article was saying, looking at his completions. But I'm sure it didn't factor in his shoulder surgery that he had.
But you know what does? his final three seasons in which he won only 15 games in between 15 and 16, when in 15 where he was not hurt, he ranked dead last. That's the very last, dead last in the NFL in off-target percentage. Look, point being here, I'm not trying to bash Colin. I'm really not. I actually think that he's been unfairly blackballed by the NFL. I think he is more than capable of being a backup in the NFL, and I think he's even capable of competing to be a starter on a bad football team. But when your production no longer matches the off-field quote unquote distractions that come with you, teams get rid of you. And Tim Tebow would attest to that. The reality is, Nick, in his final 3 years, he was one of, if not the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, I don't believe that because I've watched those games as well. And as we kind of uplift Blaine Gabbert and kind of push down Colin Kaepernick, I said, well, what has Blaine Gabbert done in his time as NFL quarterback? Because he was drafted.
Oh, this really isn't about Blaine.
No.
Just that I don't think that Blaine Gabbert's a good quarterback. I don't even remotely think he's a good quarterback.
Well, the only reason I'm going to that because you said that Colin Kaepernick was replaced by Blaine Gabbert.
Sure.
And that is a coaching decision. And you go back and look at some of those teams that Colin Kaepernick was on at that time. I think in that time period, I think Jim Tom Sulo was a coach of the team as well. And he was hired and fired. He was one and done. And in that time period as well, I think Coach Singletary was a head coach as well. And we know that he didn't do that well as a head coach with the 49ers.
Yeah, but those coaches weren't out there making those off throws.
But when we look at the whole body of work and we break down a quarterback and any player, we have to take into account the coaching staff, the scheme, mm-hmm. the players around that particular player, and the play caller. And I can't say that's all of those things were in place at that time. Now, I do agree with you with the fact that Colin was, in those 3 years he hadn't played in the league, he was being blackballed. But, like I said, the league is doing a great job extending the olive branch to Colin Kaepernick and say, listen, here's a workout. We're extending it out to all 32 teams. And if the Broncos are only doing it just to save face, to me, you might as well not show up. I still think that Colin Kaepernick is a great quarterback. He can definitely play in this league. He can definitely show that he can be a starter. He definitely, at worst, can be a backup on any NFL team based on his skill set. And if you're an offensive coordinator willing to tweak your system, as most coordinators do, week to week based on an opponent, I mean, he can fit and slide right in. Once again, look what Lamar Jackson.
I would totally agree. He's capable of being a backup quarterback. The only problem is he doesn't want to be, and he won't accept that. He's proven that time in and time out with his financial demands when teams have been interested.
Well, let's talk about what's happening right now. Is he going to the workout?
Unfortunately, we both agree that yes, he is more than capable of being a backup quarterback in this league. And I'll take that a step further. I think he's capable of being a starter on, or at least competing to be a starter on a bad football team. But the reality is, when you want too much money, when the distractions are too big, and the talent no longer matches what the distractions bring, you get blackballed in the NFL. And that's just the way it is. And I'm not saying it's fair. I think it's entirely unfair. But I'm telling you right now, these stats, these are real. And this is accurate. This dude was one of the worst quarterbacks in the entire NFL in his final three seasons. Final two, for sure. And look, the reality is, like, and I'll take, for example, as an offensive lineman, the sacks that he takes, right? That's a huge problem. And you say, oh, well, that's not on the quarterback. Okay, then how come when Blaine Gabbert comes in with the exact same offensive line, plays with tempo, plays with rhythm, all of a sudden it drops by an entire 3% going from one of the worst teams in the NFL to acceptable? The reality is, my only point in all of this, really, is just to point out that there are reasons why he is not a starter in the NFL that are unrelated to the reasons why he is unemployed in the NFL. The reasons why he is unemployed in the NFL are unfair. I would entirely agree with it. But he's a part of that. And he has demanded too much money. He's been given opportunities to go play elsewhere. And even right here in Denver, the Denver Broncos tried to get Colin Kaepernick. Didn't want to do it.
But that... all of which you're speaking of, there's some truth to some of it, right? But that's now in the past. The league has now extended the olive branch to him. Now, he's accepted the workout. He's going to go there. Teams are going to work him out. They're going to still see if he still has the goods. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to pull the trigger and sign him automatically. They're just going to put him, you know, in their books and say, hey, listen, this is what he ran in the 40. This is what he, this is how he was throwing. This is how he looked from a body standpoint to kind of try to make him measure up to some of the college quarterbacks that are coming up. But the idea that he cannot play this game, that he can't be a starter or a backup, that is utterly ridiculous. But I'm glad that the two are now coming together to now put whatever was in the past behind them. So I applaud the league and I applaud Colin Kaepernick for going out there. And in any, you know, scout, director, personnel, anyone that's going to see him, I applaud them for actually just going out there to kick the tires. It's a great thing.
Sure. And I see no reason to not attend the workout. Absolutely no reason. Every team in the NFL probably should be there. They probably should be witnessing it and making their own assessments. So look, the fact that the Broncos are there, great. Anytime you can go see any sort of talent, that's what you should be doing. We've got people on staff that is their only job, to be attending these events. So, of course, they should be there. I will ask you this. Do you believe in your heart that there is even the slightest of possibilities that the Denver Broncos would sign Colin Kaepernick?
Yes, I truly do. Once again, look at the landscape of the quarterback situation. Look at how the position has evolved over the years. I mean, That statuesque quarterback, for me, it's dead. You have to be able to slide and move in the pocket, and you have to be able to convert first downs with your feet and extend plays. And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that are able to do that. So Colin still fits the mold. He hasn't, in his hiatus from the game hasn't really passed him by. His skill set still translates to today's NFL. So if I'm the Broncos, I would definitely seriously take a look at it.
Let's head out to the phone lines where we've got Billy. Billy, how you doing, man? What are your thoughts on the situation?
No, pretty good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just got a couple of quick responses and questions. I'm a huge Colin Kaepernick fan.
Yeah.
I'm a major God and country first person, but I do understand why he was doing what he was doing. Not that I agree with it, but I do understand. And the only thing that I've had a problem with people saying is, from what I've understood and from heard and read and stuff, there was never even a contract ever offered to him. So, like, people saying that he's refusing to take it because of a certain amount of money or not money, that's never come out on anybody. And from what I believe, only the Seattle is the only team that ever brought him in for a workout, and they never discussed a contract.
Well, that's probably a fair statement. There's been a lot of, I don't know if accusations are the right word, but there's been a lot of third-party information that has come out. But you're right. I haven't heard that directly, but you're wrong on one thing. The Denver Broncos tried to bring him in, and we know that for a fact. And we know for a fact that they asked him to take a reduction in his salary, and he didn't want to do it.
True, and I totally understand that. But at the same time, they always say he's not bringing him back because Kaepernick made it clear that he didn't want to be here. Well, yeah. Case Keenum made it clear about 3 years ago, and they tried to sign him, and he decided to sign with the Rams, and then they brought him in a year after. And then they also offered Osweiler a contract. He said no, and they were fine bringing him back halfway through the season, or at the beginning of the last year, or two, 3 seasons ago.
Yep.
So it seems like he's okay bringing back certain quarterbacks, but not certain other ones. And that's fine. It's his team. You can do what you want to.
Sure.
But the other part that I have to comment about is back with the 49ers. And from what I understand, Kaepernick redid his contract some and gave him a good deal on it so they can try to keep some of their players to keep that core together. And next thing you know, they saved all the money, didn't do anything. And they hired I believe he said the name, Tom Sulua, the defensive line coach,
to take
over.
Jim Tom Sulo.
Yeah, and from what I remember, he couldn't even find enough coaches to help fill out that staff, let alone put a competitive team on there.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Billy. Thanks for the time. You know, I don't recall what his contract situation was. Nick, do you think that Colin Kaepernick would accept a backup role in the NFL right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's seeing what's happening with the evolution of the game and the evolution of the quarterback position. So how would you not want, as a quarterback that possessed that skill set that is being utilized right now, How could you not? I mean,
so
in Baltimore right now, Baltimore has two quarterbacks like that.
Yeah.
They have RG3, a guy you played with, and Lamar Jackson. And something the caller said definitely stood out to me about the contract. And you mentioned it yourself. John Elway asked him to take a pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
No player wants to take a pay cut. And I can understand if I'm Colin Kaepernick and I show that I put my career and my skill set on display and I show where a team can potentially go if you have me as your quarterback, why would I take a pay cut? And well, there's nothing wrong with him wanting to,
you're right.
A pay cut.
Of course, no player ever wants to take a pay cut, but it happens every single year. And why does it happen? It happens when players' production no longer warrants the salary that they are earning. Colin Kaepernick did not warrant the salary that he was earning at that time, and all these stats are factual evidence of why he no longer warranted all that money. So players accept a reduction when they know that their production no longer matches their salary. I guess I'll ask you this as a follow-up to the would he come back as a backup. Along with being a backup in the NFL, that also means he would likely have to come in and play for league minimum and likely with zero guaranteed dollars. Would Colin Kaepernick ever do that?
Absolutely he would. We just look, every player wants to play this great game of football. And it's not only until after you had some time away from the game via suspension, early retirement, injury that you realize how much you actually miss this game.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick was putting out videos with Odell Beckham Jr. in the summer catching passes. That still told me that the guy still loves the game. And if that means that in order to join a roster, to play a game that he loves, he has to take an NFL minimum, he is willing to take it.
Well, maybe that's true. I guess time will tell. Maybe this workout will impress the team enough, and maybe somebody will offer him a job. I have a personal gut feeling that he would never play for league minimum. I don't know that as a fact. I would agree with you that time changes things, and when you miss something bad enough, you'll go back and do things that you would not do previously. So maybe 3 years ago he would not have accepted that, and maybe now he will. All that I know is that the Broncos will be in attendance. I know that this Saturday, Colin Kaepernick is going to be working out for the entire NFL, for any team that wants to partake, any team that wants to come witness it. It will happen in Atlanta. I know Atlanta will have representatives there. I know the Broncos will have somebody there. And I know that the Cowboys will have somebody there. Other teams are starting to trickle out over time. How many teams do you think are going to show up, Nick?
About 20, 25 teams. They have representatives, may not be, you know, GMs, but, you know, pro personnel director, someone, you know, scouting, director of scouting, area scouting. Someone's going to be there. It would just be wrong for you as an NFL team not to be there so you can lay eyes on him and then you know what he can and can't do.
All right, well, it'll be interesting to see what all unfolds and what storylines pop out of this weekend with Colin Kaepernick. When we come back, we got the countdown.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Countdown. Here's The Drive with Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
Well, Mike Zimmer was asked earlier this morning about whether or not Gary Kubiak factored in the hiring of Rick Dennison and Brian Perriani into him taking the job in Minnesota. Are you buying what he said here?
Coach, did Gary insist on those three coaches coming with him in order to take the job?
No. No, he never. Gary was never one of those guys that, you know, if I'm going to do this, I have to have this or I have to have that. He was not like that at all. I just felt like it was the best for us because those guys have been together before. I felt like it'd be the best transition and most smoothest for it to work out that way.
I buy it only to the degree that I don't think Mike ever had to ask him the specific question. Hey, are these guys coming with you? And if they come, you can have the job. If they do not come, you cannot have the job. We all know that Gary Kubiak is well attached to those two guys. They've all been working together for an entire lifetime. And there were all those rumors that it, when it really came down to it with the Denver Broncos, it was because Gary wanted to bring Rico back. He wanted to bring Perriani back. And apparently John Elway did not. So I buy it to the degree that Mike, he wanted Gary Kubiak, and he did not feel the need to ask him that specific question.
I'm buying it because I feel as though if Coach Zimmer is asking Coach Kubiak whether he wants to take the job or not, you have to assume that he's going to bring coaches along that he is quite familiar with. And you heard in the bite itself that, you know, Coach Zimmer said it was all about transition. He wants to make the transition easier. So if you're bringing in a guy like Gary Kubiak or any offensive coordinator, that guy is going to attach himself to coaches who have coached with him before. So not a big deal.
Well, Vic Fangio said Tim Patrick will likely play on Sunday. While Bryce Callahan seems to be a bit behind the eight ball and didn't necessarily impress in practice yesterday, whose presence is missed more on this team?
Well, not only did he not impress during practice, but apparently there's no guarantee that he's going to continue to practice. The foot continued to act up on him, and so now here we are back at stage one. Bryce Callahan did not feel like he could play football throughout the entire of the season so far. Went out, played one day, and Coach Fangio said that it didn't go so well. So I fully expect that Bryce Callahan will be put on the IR here soon. Matter of fact, I don't know what we're waiting for. Whose presence have we missed the most? Man, that's a tough one because I've never seen Bryce Callahan in person. I'm going to go with Callahan regardless, though, because we paid him to be a starting corner on this team, and we paid him very, very handsomely. So Tim Patrick's a backup. Callahan's a starter. We miss him the most.
I'm going to say Tim Patrick. The reason why Tim Patrick, because last season when Emmanuel Sanders went down, Tim Patrick became a guy that Case Keenum can actually throw to outside of Cortland Sutton. And realizing that this offense has done a poor job of developing a number three wide receiver, and that guy was thought to be Deshaun Hamilton, having Tim Patrick back in the fold is going to not only help Cortland Sutton, but it's definitely going to help Brandon Allen as he started to make his second start.
So what will Tim Patrick's presence be like in his return?
Well, he will be able to draw the second best corner for the Minnesota Vikings, Buffalo Bills, or whomever they're facing from this point. Because of his attitude, his size, and his speed, now that's going to make him a viable target for Brandon Allen.
I agree with all that, except for the fact that Bryce Callahan, our starting corner, who we paid a boatload of money, we just backed up the Brinks truck and we gave it all to him, just opened the door and said, here, come take it all. That dude hasn't played a snap for us. So I don't know how that isn't the most impactful part of the season, but agree to disagree.
Well, the reason why he's not, because you just hit the nail on the head. He hasn't really practiced at all, so we don't know what his level of impact would actually be. So I like to go with guys that I know that there's a body of work that I've seen that I can go with.
Well, we know his body of work. I mean, we've seen the body of work at the NFL.
But that was only at the nickel position. I mean, he was brought here to, you know, be the guy that pushes Chris Harris Jr. out. Mm-hmm. But since we don't know what he is, but because of that right foot, then that leaves a huge question mark.
One. I'm going to play a couple of sound bites from Brandon Allen from earlier today, and I want you to tell me whether or not you think all the buzz surrounding Drew Lock is affecting him mentally. Here is Allen on whether or not Drew Lock's presence affects him.
My biggest thing I've always thought is I can only control the things that I can control, and that's something that I can't control. So my focus is playing well this week, playing well in practice all week, and doing my job when I'm out there. So I think everything else is going to work itself out, and I'm just going to keep trying to play to the best of my abilities.
And here is Allen on whether or not he's worried by all the buzz surrounding Drew Lock.
You know, I think there's a plan for him, and you know, like I said, my focus is really just sticking to this game plan and trying to get a win this week. So anything else that happens from there, you'll hear about it.
Brandon Allen, he doesn't care about the noise about Drew Lock. Just listen to him and talk on that bike. He only cares about the game plan itself, going out there and actually executing. I can't worry about things that I can't control. And as a quarterback of the team, you have to prepare for the next opponent. And that opponent is the Minnesota Vikings, not Drew Lock.
One day we're going to agree on something, and it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, but it's not on this one either. You cannot tell me that you could be any player in the NFL could not be affected by the noise of somebody behind you who was a second-round draft pick, who was on the IR, who was coming back, and you've been waiting for years and years and years for an opportunity, and also, and you know in the back of your mind that that dude's going to come snatch it, probably regardless of what you do on that field, outside of something just insane. You go and beat Minnesota, you go and beat Buffalo, both on the road, you will lose your job to this guy. I don't buy for a second that he's not affected by that.
Well, and just the part of listening to the noise, it's like that's all it is. It's just white noise. Block it out. They're talking.
You wouldn't be thinking about it?
For what? What has he done? He hasn't done anything in his league to win or game or game-winning drive. For me, from Brandon Allen.
Are there politics in the NFL?
There's a lot of politics.
Do politics go with high draft picks?
They do, but the team has proven at this point they have no plan for Drew Lock, because if they did, they would have activated him off the IR a long time ago, because that thumb injury that he had wasn't really that serious.
Well, that part, I don't know about the serious part, but it is hard to argue that there doesn't appear to be a plan for Drew Lock. I do know that historically speaking, second-rounders get on the field the same way the first-rounders get on the field. And guys like Brandon Allen, you're sitting there as a temporary guy only for as long as we need you until the next guy steps up. That's what the history of the NFL would tell you.
The Countdown.
Well, Brandon Allen now has one game under his belt. He's 1-0, beat the Cleveland Browns. Now he's got one heck of a test coming up this week, Nick. The Minnesota Vikings, man, you better bring your A game. Let's talk about what we should expect out of Brandon Allen coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
Well, I want to send out a special congratulations to the McKee family. D-Mac will be joining us here in about 45 minutes, but he is currently vacant, if you have not noticed. I know I'm doing a killer job filling in. Why would you miss him? But there is something special going on today, and D-Mac's son, Connor, who is a Smoky Hill High School student, he is going to be attending the University of Northern Colorado to play baseball next year. And today is the celebration day of all these students that are moving on from high school to go play college athletics. So D-Mac is currently over at Smoky Hill High School and celebrating with his family, celebrating with Connor. And, yeah, just special congrats to Connor. Nick, I'm sure you remember that moment well in your life, as do I, and what that feels like.
Well, it's a great moment for both, D-Mac and his son, Connor. I applaud any kid that has an opportunity to go to college, whether that is on an athletic scholarship or academic scholarship, because that's a huge part of your life, man. So big shout-outs and congratulations to them. I can't wait to have him back in studio so we can see that lovely fatherly smile on his face.
He was dressed up a little bit more today, huh?
Yeah.
Normally comes in with his
khaki pants,
his shower shoes on. I mean, I don't know if shower shoes mean anything to normal Americans. I know to Nick it means something. I know it means something to all athletes. But, you know, like not just sandals, but like the open-toed sandals, like the slipper style. D-Mac has found a way to make those a part of his everyday apparel.
They're fashionable.
Along with ASU and UNC gear.
Don't forget the orange man. Syracuse.
Yeah. Now, actually, every now and then I see him in that, but not all too often, actually. But, yeah, today he actually dressed up a little bit. It was a little bit unusual. Anyways, Brandon Allen. This dude, congratulations, by the way, again to Brandon Allen on coming out and winning your first game as a starter in the NFL, beating the Cleveland Browns. But this week's a little bit different. It is. It just is. Cleveland Browns were not a very good football team, despite all the talent that they had. The Minnesota Vikings are a very good football team, an extremely good football team. And this is going to be a little bit taller task for our guy, Brandon Allen. Vic Fangio was asked about his expectations for Brandon Allen this week, and here's what he had to say.
Better play. I think he can play better than he played in the last game. You know, he missed some throws that I think he can make. When you're playing a team as good as the Vikings all around, we can't be missing throws that he's got to make, you know. So he's got to make the throws that are makeable and not miss any. He missed a few the first game.
Man, FanDuel's a tough critic, huh? I mean, really is. I will say this. I respect the fact that he will call out Von Miller the same way that he'll call up his third team, second team quarterback that he never expected to play football. Vic's got a standard, though, and if you don't meet his standard, he will call you out.
Yeah, he would definitely call you out, but, you know, what he said there is, you know, Brandon Allen has to make, you know, the certain throws, the throws that are there. He did a great job against Cleveland Browns, taking what the defense gave him, but also throwing the ball on timing and on rhythm. And when you play a Micah Zimmer type of defense, you have to make every single throw. And we watched Dak Prescott on Sunday Night Football. He struggled a little at first, but he was able to establish a rhythm and find some wide receivers downfield. And hopefully that's going to be the game plan for Brandon Allen and Rich Gangarello going forward.
I actually felt like, look, wasn't he, I think the stats were 12 of 20, something like that. He certainly missed some throws, but for the most part, I thought he played as well as he possibly could, given the circumstances. This week's going to tell us a lot about Brandon Allen, though. If he goes in and beats the Minnesota Vikings, what does that change?
What that means is that all this Drew Lock talk, we could put that in your back pocket because Coach Fangio has already said, listen, he's trying to win four games. And even though the record is not indicative of a team that's trying to make a playoff push, there is a slight numerical chance that the Broncos could squeak in at the wild card position, but it starts by winning this football game. So if Brandon Allen can go and pull off what would be deemed as the impossible right now, based on how, you know, collectively, offensively, and defensively, like the Vikings are playing, then to me, I mean, he's your guy moving forward. I mean, let me correct that.
So
the 2019 season is concerned.
So if he wins this game, it's all you need, and Drew Lock never comes on the field this year.
I don't need to see him.
Wow.
I don't need to see him. What do we need to see?
Wow.
What do we need to see?
Man, I need to see a lot. I need to know what we got. And to be totally honest with you, even if Brandon Allen wins this game, I acknowledge that I will have to take it very seriously that we need to continue to see more of him. But he would get one more crack against Buffalo. And then if he loses it, I'm going to Drew Lock. If he wins it, I'm sticking with him. So if he wins this game, certainly it's a step in the right direction for Brandon Allen to hold on to a job more than a temporary situation. But man, oh man, I mean, even if he wins this game, that does nothing to quench my thirst to find out what I have in Drew Lock.
It's like, you know, Brandon Allen's in a very damn if you do, damn if you don't type
sure
of situation
is.
Because
yeah.
If he goes out and he doesn't play well against Minnesota, a team that we know they have a better roster than the Denver Broncos, then now everyone's still talking about Drew Lock. He goes out and he doesn't perform in back-to-back games against Buffalo. Now it's like, well, he didn't perform. Now let's throw Drew Lock in. It's like if that's the case, just toss Drew Lock in right now. Why are we waiting? Are we trying to?
Well, he needs
to
practice. He needs to get his feet wet again, get comfortable in the system, all those sorts of things. Would not be fair to Drew Lock to toss him out there this weekend. That would be entirely unfair, and it would be an utterly ridiculous move to make.
But I thought you said we've seen, from your standpoint, we've seen enough in Drew Lock to go ahead and, you know, make him the quarterback. Make him the starting quarterback.
No, I haven't. I've said the complete opposite. I've said I know nothing about Drew Lock. What are you talking about?
I thought when I mentioned the fact that, hey, we know what he is, and you're just like, well, we don't know anything.
That's right. Thank you for saying it correctly that time.
That
is exactly what I said. We don't know anything about Drew Lock.
Yeah, but also when I said that, you said, well, you know, look at what he's been able to do. Like, we look at, you know, some throws in the preseason that he played well in the preseason.
Hold on. If you're going to say things, then at least make it right.
Okay.
I said that what we saw out of the preseason was not exciting, but it looked fine. I saw a guy that was improving. I saw a guy that looked like a rookie. I saw a guy that didn't look like he was ready to be a starter in the NFL, but it looked fine given the circumstances. That is far from me saying that I've seen enough out of Drew Lock.
Okay.
I know nothing about Drew Lock.
Okay, that's fine. But if Brandon Allen does not play well against Minnesota and Buffalo, is it fair to say that he's been judged perfectly.
Oh, Brandon Allen's not getting a fair shot.
Okay.
Without a doubt. But that's the reality of the NFL. That's what happens in the NFL. Brandon Allen is not and will not get a fair shot at this thing. And the only way that he gets a fair shot at it is if he takes that thing and he runs and he makes it so obvious that he's the next Tom Brady. That's the only way that he gets a fair shot at this thing. I don't know what your circumstances were when you got your first crack at being a starter, but I can guarantee you were looking over your shoulder. I can guarantee it, just like I was, and just like every undrafted player was. We all were looking over our shoulder, and we were not given a fair shot. We were in there temporarily because they needed us to play football, and then we stole the job. That's what happens.
When in my turn in this league, or my time in this league, I never looked over my shoulder because my whole idea was if you find yourself looking in the rearview mirror, you can't look forward.
I looked over my shoulder and I managed. I don't know. I was well aware that I was replacing Jamal Brown, who was making $30 million, and they were going to do everything in their possibility to put that dude back on the field. So I was well aware of who was hovering over my shoulders.
Yeah, I never really, Tyler, cared about it because to me it was about putting my next foot forward. If I look backwards, I could not advance.
No, it's not looking backwards.
As a player.
Having awareness is way different than looking backwards.
I never cared about it. It was just like, well, once you throw me in, I'm going to play so well that I'm going to make it tough on you to pull me out.
Correct. But let me be more specific and more direct. Was there a starter that you replaced that the coaches were trying to put back on the field had you not played better than he did?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay, that's my entire point.
Yeah, they have a guy that they want to put back in there who was in there before you were, but the whole idea is once you get your opportunity, and this is where Brandon Allen finds himself, you've been waiting so long as a six-round quarterback, that you had your opportunity. He showed last week against Cleveland, or before the bye, what he can do as a player. He now has to continue to build on it. And even if he's not here with the Denver Broncos, he needs to show every other team, 31 other teams, that he still can play this game and he can play it at a high level.
That's exactly right. I agree with that. What is the Gary Kubiak offense? What is it? What is different from that offense, from a Rich Gangarello offense, from a Josh McDaniels offense? Let's explain it in detail coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.